from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And that music, well, it's the Pitt fight song. You know that. You'll hear it a lot tomorrow. Pat Bostic joins us in studio right on time because it's not preseason anymore. It's not fall camp. It's the real thing, baby. Bostic, hello.
We're back.
Good to see you guys.
We're back.
It's great to see you. Great to see you.
I thought you guys were going to do that. I thought you were going to do that, like, get my money. You see that thing where the people clap? Give me my money! And then they clap. I thought you guys were clapping, and then I was going to clap, and you guys were going to stop.
We should have did that.
We should have done that. That would have been great.
He'll forget about that in, like, 2 segments. We'll do it to him then.
We'll do it to him, yeah. We'll
forget about that. I'll write it down right now.
So you play the Pit music, of course. That's what we do when Pat comes on. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Pit. Previewing the game tomorrow, previewing the season. We'll do that a little bit later on this hour and into the 8 o'clock hour. Do want to start with the Steelers and Bostic. No Brandon Ayuk. Imagine that.
Shocking development.
What the hell are they going to do?
I don't know. Nothing? I mean, they seem... It seems they put all their eggs in one basket, at least with a marquee name. Now, do they pick somebody up that's... You know, a second receiver to Pickens. I don't think Van Jefferson is the player he was 2 years ago, obviously. I saw someone on Twitter last night was like, who needs Ayuk when you have this? And it was Rams highlights from 2021. And he looked great.
Yeah.
He just has not been that player 2 years in a row.
Didn't he get hurt?
He did. So, you know, they have a relatively average receiving room.
That's worse.
That's what they have.
That's worse than that, I think.
With Pickens at his best, it's average.
Okay.
If Pickens is
hurt
and the quarterback play isn't better, it's below average because it takes obviously two to complete a pass. So I heard you guys talking about Freiermuth. I mean, he's yet to prove to me that he's an elite tight end. Now you can say he didn't have quarterback play and all this stuff, but I mean, Kittle's eating with Brock Purdy, who's played really good, but he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I will push back a little bit on Freiermuth. I mean, his best season, he had 732 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, and that was the last time the Steelers had above-average quarterback play. Last year, he was hurt. I don't know that he's elite. I think he can be very, very good.
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good, but it's not a room that you sit back as a defensive coordinator and go, oh, we got to play too deep and keep things in front of us. You basically have to keep one guy in front of you. And everyone else you're going to challenge outside and stop the run. So it puts Arthur Smith in a situation where it's a little bit of an uphill climb to revive that passing game. I think the running game is going to be fine. The other part of it is you better be able to protect. And that did not look very good all preseason.
No. And it's going to look worse without Isaac Seumalo.
It is. It might. And you just hope that they could just find something in that first game. And no, I knew this about Arthur Smith in the 2019 season. I think everybody knew this, but somebody posted yesterday the stats of the receivers for the Tennessee Titans. And A.J. Brown had over 1,000 yards.
Just barely, yeah.
Just barely over 1,000 yards. The second receiver was Corey Davis, and I think he had like 600. After that was Jonnu Smith, the tight end. I think he had like 400. And then you just go down the list, it was like 200. So Arthur Smith has worked like this before with having just really one receiver having the bulk of work. You had Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. which I think with Derrick Henry, he had over 2,000 yards. Maybe you can make up that production with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. You had Ryan Tannehill, who, you know, I would think that Russell Wilson either is at Ryan Tannehill's level then, now, or better, probably better mm-hmm. decision-making, and they made it to an AFC championship game. So my question to you, Pat, is you break down offense. You know offense better than, you know, really anybody that I know. How can you manufacture this offense this year if you're Arthur Smith? Like, I mean, with what you have, what can you do to – you say that defenses aren't going to stay up late at night worrying about this receiving corps, but what can you do to make them think, to prepare for what, for prepare for something?
Well, I think it's – I mean, it's a little bit of what they've been doing. I don't – you know, I think everyone thinks this is going to be some sort of, like, categorical, you know, paradigm shift from Matt Canada to Arthur Smith. I think it's going to be more organized, more thoughtful, more intentional. And I think that the run game and play action is how you is the ultimate equalizer in the National Football League. If you can run the football, Tennessee, Atlanta, which he's done at both places, it creates opportunities where a defense's hand is forced, and you make them stop what is your strong suit. And then you get, you know, I think very kind looks on the defensive side that allow Pickens to get one-on-one, because that's what you want. I mean, you want Pickens one-on-one. And you got to count on Calvin Austin and Van Jefferson to make intermediate catches and really Austin to make yards after the catch. I mean, I don't want to see posts thrown to Calvin Austin. I saw it too much last year. It is with a guy with a short catch radius, unless he is beat, which he didn't separate that often. And
exactly one time did it work last
when
year.
When it did, they connected. It's not the guy I'm throwing a ball to down the field. So it's building a system about what each player does well, but foundationally it's running the football and setting up play action. Russell Wilson has done that better than most quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's done it his entire career, particularly in Seattle. So I think that's a match made in heaven there. But again, it's if they're not able to hold up front, it all goes to hell in a handbasket.
I think they're going to have a tough time holding up front initially. You're going to be playing at left guard. Either a guy who's played one career snap in Spencer Anderson or a guy that's played exactly zero career snaps in Mason McCormick next to Dan Moore Jr., who I don't think is very good, or Broderick Jones, who's banged up and they haven't used enough at left tackle. And your right tackle is either a banged up Broderick Jones or a guy who's played zero career snaps. Early on, you're looking at an inexperienced offensive line. You were looking at a wide receiver core whose number two is Van Jefferson and a quarterback that... The best things you say about him are he protects the football. I can't get excited about this Steelers offense right now.
Well, I kind of look at it like this. I mean, there's two ways to go. And if you have an inexperienced offense, so say you have Faltanu at right, you have Broderick at left, say, you know, Sayamalo's injury gets worse or whatever, then you have Mason McCormick at left and left guard, and you have Frazier at center. You have a very young offense. What if they do good? Then what? What if it's good? Because now you can see your future.
If it's good, it's great.
I mean, that's a bet. Like it could go that way too.
I agree with that. I don't think it is going to go that way early. I think.
But what if it does though?
Just get ready. I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there. Get ready for a conservative game plan.
Yes.
Get ready for run the football, control the clock, try to win 17-14, try to win 21-17. It's been there. That's been my argument all offseason, right? Tiger don't change its stripes. This is how they want to play ball. And that's what they're going to do. And Arthur Smith fits right in. It's the perfect puzzle piece. The question is, can you be advanced enough in motion shifts? The quarterback, I think the advantage you have with Russell Wilson is the ability to manipulate the play call at the line of scrimmage and get you out of a bad play into a good play. I don't think that was a strength of Kenny Pickett. Mason Rudolph did it better, more experienced. Mason, that probably was the best thing Mason did.
Absolutely.
Was manage the game, including the run game. But absolutely, this is not a team that's going to drop back and throw. If they throw it 42 times, they're losing the game. It means they're down. Considerably, probably. That's just how they're built right now.
Yeah, they have one game script. One way to win games.
Which gives you a very, very, very slim margin for error.
Yeah.
In today's football. Because eventually, you're going to go down 14-0 in the first quarter to Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa, and you're going to have to go to the track meet. And they're not built for that. They're not built for that up front right now. They're certainly not built for it at receiver. So they've got to control the tempo of a game. Now, they've done that really well. And if you look at it, again, they build their own roster. This isn't, you know, a random draft, right? They've been pretty good with one arm tied behind their back for a couple years. You know, above average football team on the fringe of the playoffs. That's been my biggest question. Does the upgrades at the quarterback position, quote-unquote upgrades, does that really move you closer to being able to compete with those elite explosive offenses? My answer right now is no. Now, the other part of this thing, too, is if you get two or three games in and you're struggling to throw it, you may need another running threat, and that would be Justin Fields running the ball at quarterback position, because that changes things completely when you can handle the eighth element in the box with a quarterback.
And that's why Tom was like, this was a difficult decision. That has to be the reason why he says that.
It still doesn't vastly change your prospects of going to win a championship, but it gives you an opportunity to manufacture more offense.
Man, I really thought about that last thing that you said a lot yesterday. What are we really doing with this year for the Steelers? I mean, really, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Breaking news, they're not. And the stated goal, basically, from Art Rooney II was enough is enough. This is an offseason of urgency. It's time we start getting back to winning playoff games. Okay, let's say you do win a playoff game. It'll be fun for a day or two. It'll be fun for a week. Then you go and you lose. Who's your quarterback next year? Is it Russell Wilson because he won a playoff game? Is it Justin Fields? Did he win the playoff game? Are either one of those guys going to be back? This is the ultimate all-in transitional year. Like, a lot of these moves they've made are to go all in to try to win, but they're not good enough to win. And then on the back end, what the hell do they have?
Right.
Like, what does it all mean? Like, really? You could win. You could go to the... They're not. I don't think. You could go to the AFC Championship game and come back next year, and your quarterback that took you to the AFC Championship game is playing for somebody else.
Yeah,
it feels like they're in purgatory little bit.
A much cleaner, faster way, concise way of saying what I just tried.
I still don't think they're a bad football team. They're just somewhere in that world where it's like, you know, you're walking to the stadium with your Steeler jersey on, and you're like, yeah, I think we got a chance to win today. But you're not like, you know, it has to go one way. And it's certainly not as exciting as being a Kansas City Chiefs fan or a Buffalo Bills fan or a Baltimore Ravens fan, where you could be watching fireworks go off. Now, Pickens might weigh two plays a game that are generationally good, and he will do that, absolutely. But how many yards did he have last year? 580? Something like that?
Pickens? No, he was up over 1,000.
He had over 1,000 last year. Okay, so you're asking him to step up with really less around him.
Yeah, they're worse at the wide receiver position, no question, than they were last year.
They're certainly not as deep.
Yeah.
I mean, now I think Van Jefferson is a massive upgrade over Allen Robinson. I'm not sure he's an upgrade over Deontay Johnson. He is in the locker room, but not on the field.
Doran, I think, is at 35.
Age?
Yeah.
36.
At 36, an upgrade over Allen Robinson. Get him in the gym for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. Because they could conceivably get off to a really good start, and everyone's excited. But again, watch how they play, and ask yourself when they're playing. And I don't fault them for this. It's what they have right now. They put a lot of money on that defensive side of the ball, and they have to make a decision now on Cam Hayward. And ask yourself, is it that much different than last year? Ask yourself that.
If they go 10-7 and lose a playoff game, nobody's surprised.
Nope.
I'm just talking about the style of play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, and again, I expect it to look cleaner. I expect it to be less negative plays because you've got more experience at the quarterback position, all that. But ask yourself, does it look that much different? And that's what I'm curious to watch. I don't think it will.
You brought up Justin Fields. We need to talk about that when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talking about college football in between segments here, and we'll bring it onto the air. In the not-too-distant future, Pat Bostic with us until 9 o'clock. The return, the triumphant return of Lee Sterling coming up today, one of our most popular segments at 9 o'clock, picking all of this weekend's college football games. You said, Mr. Bostic, that if the Steelers aren't playing well offensively or they're losing their first few games, you could turn it over to Justin Fields' line if it's not playing well. We know what the wide receiver situation is now without Brandon Ayuk. Might they, or should they, I guess I should phrase it, should they fold Justin Fields into the game plan now?
I would have it ready. Yeah, I'd rep those packages and have it ready, and I think keep it in your, you know, you want that arrow in your quiver if you need to pull it and run the ball a little bit with him and get him involved. The problem is we all know what's going to happen in that stadium if it's a home game. Even if it's, I mean, look at social media. The minute he goes into a game and picks up a first down, it's one of those things that's just, I know coaches say they don't think about it, but it affects everybody, right? It affects the locker room. It affects everybody. And that position is really the only position on the field that you really don't rep multiple guys too much throughout the week. O-line maybe, but, you know, running backs get, you know, share the load, tight ends, receivers. At quarterback, once you get to game plan week, it's one dude. But when you're working another guy in there and he goes in there and starts the ball a little bit, it makes it hard to pull him out, and then you've got a decision to make. So I think they're gonna toe that line, and you know, really, unfortunately for Russell Wilson, it might not have much to do with him. It might be what's around him and how they're able to play around him. Can they protect him? I mean, they were a sieve in the preseason. I don't want to read too far into the preseason. Just in totality, but if you just watch the O-line play, snap issues, you know, your right tackle getting put on skates, you want to put him over and left with an injury issue? Your best offensive lineman's banged up. You know, you got Dan Moore Jr., who was graded as the worst left tackle in football, starting left tackle, so he's one of 32. 32 out of 32. It don't really look real good on paper. And again, I think it translates into a very conservative approach.
Crowley, we were talking about this yesterday, and love to get Pat's opinion. If they do have a package for Justin Fields, when do you think the appropriate time is to use that, like in a game? Like, when would be the ideal time to announce or put out that package if you're going against the Atlanta Falcons defense? Like, are there special situations that you would have in mind? Like, 3rd and 1, we talked about that. I said catch him off guard. Like, you know, Tallman said that Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback. Like, I said, put Justin Fields in the second play of the game and catch him off guard. When's the appropriate time?
I would not do it on the first drive. I think, to me, it's one of those things, and managing, you know, emotions and confidence, I think, is important. Not with a guy like Russell Wilson who's been through the ringer, but I'm waiting until at least the second series.
Okay.
But if they go out and score the first series, too, I'm not real inclined to go do it again. you know, to just throw it in there because we want to. But I would say, just generally speaking, when you somewhere where you cross the 50, it would be something that I would feel comfortable in, because you're probably in four down territory then. So if it doesn't go well, if a play's busted, takes a sack, you can always adjust. Because I think right now, if you ask Mike Tomlin or Arthur Smith, who do you want in there on 3rd and 10, they'd say it's Russell Wilson.
I'm so happy that we went here, and let me tell you why. We all have been in long, long relationships with our ladies. And I'm sure you guys are like me, and sometimes you say something they're about to say. Doran, you and me are on that wavelength now. And Bostic, you just bring something up. It's the three of us are that Spider-Man meme, because as you were setting that up, I was looking at some statistics, Doran, because we talked about this yesterday with no statistics. And I said, just anecdotally, I don't want Russell Wilson to come off the field on 3rd and 4th and short. I don't want Russell Wilson to come off the field in the red zone. And we know the red zone numbers, 20 touchdowns, one interception last year. On 3rd downs, because this is one of the places people have said, use him on 3rd downs. 3rd downs last year, Russell Wilson had a quarterback rating of 104. On 3rd down and short, which I think a lot of people have said, you want 3rd down and short, 4th down and short. Last year, Russell Wilson, 3rd and 1 to 3 yards, quarterback rating of 116. On 4th and 1, 4th and 1 to 4th and 3, quarterback rating 147, small sample size. 4th down overall, 4th and 6, 4th, 4, rephrase, too much stats. Am I making my own eyes glaze over? 4th down and 4th through 6th. So medium, quarterback rating of 118.8. So it's not just anecdotal. In those situations that a lot of people have called to see Justin Fields, Russell Wilson was not just good, he was actually elite in those situations last year, which is why when, Doran, you say, do it kind of thoughtfully where you're going to draw him off guard, and Pat, you say, once you cross the 50, just a little change of pace, I think that's more in line with what you would do than critical down and distance scenarios where Russell Wilson has been very good.
Yeah, you know what worries me about Fields, though? Ball security. I mean, I know it's preseason, but that ball being on the ground's got to burn in Mike Tomlin's mind. Because, again, when you're a low-margin error team, and the National Football League largely is, you got a small margin for error. I mean, you don't play well, you turn a ball over, you're probably going to lose. But that would, especially when you're going to run him, a little anxious, he's excited. All of a sudden, you throw a different center, different cadence, different this, on the road. You know, I'd have it ready. And I'd have it ready because if it doesn't go well, it could spark you. But I wouldn't be real, I'd have to be real moved if it's a tight ball game to make that move.
Do you think Russ would be pissed if they do that in the Denver game?
I think Russ would be pissed if they do it, period. I mean, listen, he came here to play and said he wants to win a Super Bowl, you know, and that's in his mind. And I think everything he's done here is to be the starting quarterback. He was brought here to do that. So it's been a bunch of he said, she said the whole offseason, right? I mean, is it a competition? Is it in a competition? Someone says it is. Someone says it isn't. There's no question. I think Jerry Dulac said he was brought here to be the starting quarterback. And I think anything other than that for him, unless he loses the job by virtue of his performance, he would feel like he was, you know, bait and switched.
When we come back, shall we put a pin in the Steelers talk for now? Shall we transition to good old American collegiate football? Let's do it. This Justin Fields or Russell Wilson coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Did those stats make sense?
They did. You had a little bit of a hitch in your giddy up there midstream, but they made a lot of sense. I mean, his quarterback rating on money downs is pretty good.
Pat just comes in. You sit here every day. You just say what I say, but quicker and better.
Right.
We should stop having Pat on and take everybody's job. Yep. All right. College football talk. When we return, which coach of Narduzzi, Franklin, Neil Brown is under the most pressure to win this year? 50-minute? No. It is 7:37. Lost track of the old clock here. I got my mind on Morgantown, gentlemen. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. What's the line, Skip? How excited are you guys? College football here. What?
Oh, what? I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. What's the line, Skip? How excited are you guys?
Just all over it.
50-minute mark on a fan.
Do you guys just want to take the show from here?
50-minute mark on a fan.
We'll just listen to you.
It's 7:37.
It's clearly amusing us.
We are 13 minutes shy of the
50-minute mark.
Fourth and
one short, fourth and short.
That's like the Ayuk deal being on the goal line and then him winding up a 49er 30 days later. That's what that was like right there. My bad.
Oh, shots fired.
Burn. Excuse me. Pardon me there.
We're excited.
Clearly not as excited
as me. I'm fired. Well, you just basically stole the oxygen from the room. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to college football. It's gotten started already. Good slate of games last night. Good slate of games last weekend. The Yellow Jackets getting a W. And we have a little local flavor this weekend, which is great.
Yeah, we sure do. And I did not know what you told us during the break, which is that Minnesota missed a game-winning field goal last night, and I actually bet on Minnesota outright to win the game, saw they lost by two, and then was kicking myself that I didn't pick them with the points. So they missed the game-winning field goal and then shot off fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the absurdity of college football. Oh, my God, he hooked it!
It had plenty of leg.
It looked good! Are we sure it's not good? I want my money back! That thing looked like it got in there!
No, it was not good. And
it looked good!
I saw on Twitter
challenge it.
Some fireworks went off, and the problem with that is, you know, those that do like game management stuff, you got to pay for those fireworks, whether they go off or not.
Yeah.
And you got to communicate with the, now imagine you got your finger on the controller, you got a walkie talkie or some sort of microphone system. You're watching a game winning field goal. You're into this thing and you got to make sure you call off the fireworks too. So somebody did not call off the fireworks. And that's got to be, like, if I'm a Golden Gopher fan and I see fire, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, right? Man. Insult to injury.
It's one thing if you advertise, like, a post-game fireworks show. Like, the Pirates do fireworks whether they lose 18-8 or win 18-8. They're going to do it because it's a Zambelli fireworks show. If you're just doing it for, like, a
big moment.
Oh.
That's tough.
That's a not top 10 type moment right there.
Yeah, it sure is.
I feel bad. I feel real bad for those folks. But they'll be fine.
They'll be okay. They'll survive. Was it snowing in Minnesota? Wouldn't it shock me even on August 29th. All right, which local coach is under the most pressure this year? I think there's a different set of goals for every program at the start, and then things obviously evolve and change as the season goes on. Pitt starts 4-0, you're starting to think about ACC championship, things like that. But Pat Narduzzi goes 3-9 last year after winning 20 combined games the prior 2 years. Neil Brown was on the chopping block. He wins 9 games last season, so expectations change. James Franklin, I think you need to make the college football playoff. Which coach is under the most pressure, Doran?
I'm going to go with James Franklin because they are getting antsy up there in Happy Valley. They've had a successful program for, I mean, many, many years, and there's a measure of success in whenever you're looking at football, when we're looking at sports. And they win a lot of games, usually every year, but they don't win that big game. And I think people are getting a little bit uneasy about that. It's like, when are we going to get over the hump and win the big game? Now the college football playoff has expanded, so there's a little bit more room for error, as you've been saying the past couple days. Now, you have to win those playoff games if you do make it to the playoffs if you're Penn State. And I do know that there's people that are Franklin fans and think that he's done a good job, and there's Penn State people who think that they need to move on and find somebody else. I think the pressure for him not having Michigan and just having Ohio State on the schedule and having to win that game or to vault them into the playoffs, you have to win in the playoffs too.
I agree with that.
Just good enough to make it to the playoffs. And there's a higher standard, I think, for Penn State fans up there. And they're getting sick of what their type of mediocrity. And I think that Franklin really needs to come through at this point.
Real quick, Pat, before you're rubbing your hands together here.
Yeah, this is a really good topic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Good job there, kid.
I think that Franklin has to beat Ohio State and make the playoff, or make the playoff and win a playoff game.
Yes.
You have to win a big game.
Yes.
Making the playoff, because you go 11-1 or 10-2, but you don't beat Ohio State and then you lose a playoff game, is it really different?
No.
It's not different at all.
No.
Because you'll have lost the big game and you'll have done it at home at Beaver Stadium, which, my God, would be totally electric for a playoff game. So I'm with you 100% on that, Doran. Now, you were rubbing your fingers together over there, Mr. Boss.
I think they're all under pressure.
Yep.
I think to varying degrees. I think Penn State and James Franklin are under the most pressure because they, by virtue of the size of their stadium and the amount of money they bring, being in the Big Ten, the financial strength they have, they are at the high-stakes poker table. Like, they're at the high stakes. They're at the price of poker for them's high.
Them, Zeiss, Jake Gensel, and Yamir Yager all at that
yeah.
table.
Yeah. And if they have
Broderick Jones,
Holgerson,
if they want to compete, if they want to compete and see a path forward to winning a national championship, they've said that this is a playoff team. And I just feel that James Franklin is rubbing. He's wearing a little thin with people up there. There's a lot of talk, and they haven't necessarily walked the walk and beaten, won a big game. And if they don't do that this year with a five-star quarterback and some of their best recruiting classes, and it's a 12-team playoff, like, there's no excuse. You have to wonder if it's not thinking about moving forward. They got a new AD up there. Pat Kraft has signed a big extension. I mean, he means business. I think Neil Brown's situation is different than Pat Narduzzi's, but more similar. Yeah, he's got to prove that last year wasn't an anomaly.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
His contract is much, much, much easier to stomach. He's only under the contract through 27. He was given a one-year extension. New AD.
Which lowered the buyout, actually.
Lowered the buyout. One new AD, right? Football is the most important thing down there. And if they go 6-6 this year, I think you're starting to wonder I don't think he gets fired after this season unless they go 3-9,
mm-hmm.
2-10 or something like that. But you're starting to prepare for what we thought was the inevitable last year. Pat Narduzzi got to prove that last year was an anomaly.
Right.
In the opposite way. And I'm not sure, I saw Joe Starkey's article, which I read it in its entirety, and he makes some valid points, but I'm not sure that, 10 wins is the low bar to prove that last year was a fluke, but it's got to show progress. New offense, young quarterback. Can you show promise for the future?
Well, okay. So obviously, and sorry, Doran, I started talking. I didn't even look at you first. This is an outsider's perspective here. If I am looking at Narduzzi this year and thinking about what would be the lowest level of success that I could stomach, I think you go 6-6, you go to a bowl game, you win a bowl game, Eli Holstein's your quarterback, and the offense looks like, as the season goes on, it looks very good. I don't think that's an unsuccessful season, but that's me looking from an outsider's perspective.
No, I think the fact that Pat Narduzzi was willing to make such a change on offense.
Yes, and I say that about Franklin too.
They moved the goalposts a little bit on. Now, Franklin didn't. Narduzzi, because Franklin he's rolled through offensive coordinators, and their standard is still a college football playoff,
mm-hmm.
right? Pat Narduzzi, and having a bad season and then willing to not just be stubborn and say we're going to play a certain way and change offensively, if that shows promise and bears fruit and you think there's a future with it, I think it gives him more margin for error. Whereas Franklin, again, I think they're making moves to go to a national championship game, not to bounce back from a 3-9 season.
That is true.
And they're talking that way.
But they also got to get the most out of Aller, too.
They do, and I'm not a believer. So he's got to prove me wrong, which doesn't matter to him, but he's got to prove me wrong for me to think that they're believing in him. If their belief in him is so strong and he doesn't perform, to me it's a black eye for their program.
Mm-hmm. And this is the season. Their recruiting class a couple of years ago was the recruiting class that they thought, Nate earmarked 2024, let's go and contend and win a national championship.
And I'll say this real quick, that West Virginia has the tallest task with their schedule. Like, yeah, I can see successful seasons for Penn State and for Pitt. I think Pitt's schedule does match up well if they take care of the games they need to take care of. As we talked about yesterday, I think Cincinnati's a pivotal game.
Yep.
And then, obviously, West Virginia's a toss-up. If you win that, if you go 3-1 in September, you can see Pitt having a successful season. If you take care of business, if you're Penn State, and then say you do beat Ohio State, that would be somewhat a successful season. You do have to win in the playoffs. West Virginia? I mean, we went through the schedule 2 days ago. They have a tough task in front of them.
It's very tough, and I've said this before with Mike Tomlin. When you say every year that your goal is to win the Super Bowl and you're not even winning playoff games, you have to use their own words against them. Look, I think an 8-4 season, just like last year for West Virginia, is a little bit of proof of concept.
No question.
But that being said, they say they're a Big 12 title contender. They believe that. And so if you fall short of that, there are going to be people disappointed inside the program. So how can't I be? So I do think there's pressure on all these guys. We'll get more into this conversation. We got a lot of time still left with Pat, and we're allowed to have college football talk without Bostic as well. Real quick, when we come back, Caboli tweeted something out about Brandon Ayuk that I agree with part of it. I don't agree with part of it. I'll explain. All right, the 50-minute mark. Here we go, guys. On the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Pat Bostic with us until 9 o'clock. Caboli tweeted this out, the Pat McAfee 93.7 The Fan special Steelers insider. Quote, it wasn't difficult. If the Steelers really wanted Ayuk, then sweeten the offer. They wanted a wide receiver. Your wide receivers suck. You don't have a wide receiver to give them. How do you sweeten the offer? That's what they wanted. You could have given an extra draft pick, I guess.
Yeah, probably a draft pick.
If that's what he's talking about, then okay. But I don't know that that moves the needle for a team that wants to win the Super Bowl. So there seems to be this revisionist history now. Oh, well, the Steelers, they didn't really want Brandon Ayuk. Like Jerry Dulac tweets, Steelers not surprised by the outcome. Mark Caboli tweeting, well, it wasn't difficult. If they really wanted him, then sweeten the offer. They wanted him. I just don't think that the 49ers were all that enamored with their offer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they wanted him. They cleared cap space for him with the Alex Highsmith restructuring. So just wanted to throw that out there. Now that they don't have Ayuk and it's official, all of a sudden they didn't really want him that much. The reporting has changed almost overnight. Give me a break with that.
They needed him.
Love you, Mark.
They needed him. Now this is where they're at. Now you have to manufacture your offense, which is what, you know, as we talked before, they, you know, the thought process of wanting to run the offense a certain way, it still falls on those shoulders of how they still want to run it, but it would have just been an added bonus, a big bonus, if they had somebody that was a threat.
Nothing to add, Pathew?
I am over the Brandon Ayuk conversation, so I will just...
It is great to know that it is Friday, and it's a long weekend, there's Labor Day, and to know that this will be the last day we have to talk about it.
It's over. It is over. And I would contend that it was somewhat over for quite some time. I think that Ayuk was... I listened to you earlier, you were spot on.
He was pointing at Doran, not me, just for the record.
They were trying to... I was trying to generalize so people could think whether it was you or Doran, right? You know, you guys are both smart.
Come on, Crowley.
He was just waiting it out, see if they go higher. He was always playing in San Fran. He had a little fun with the social media stuff.
He's a genius.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, it's smart. And now he got a lot of money, and he's playing for a bona fide Super Bowl contender.
Like, would you rather live in California...
No.
Weather-wise, in California,
yes.
Play for a Super Bowl contender. Play in an offense you already know.
That $78 million guaranteed is about 40.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I'll take it if I can win a Super Bowl.
Cortland Sutton watch?
Let's go.
Is that where we are? Doran, you made a good point about that earlier, though. That you think the Broncos are excited about sending Cortland Sutton over here so that Russell Wilson can walk up inside Mile High and beat their ass?
So you're going to send your number one receiver to Pittsburgh and you're going to pay Pittsburgh's quarterback $40 million this year. There's no way that's ever going
to
happen.
Who's the guy that Houston's trying to deal? Not Houston.
Mechie.
Great.
Maybe.
I mean, I would do that.
That's intriguing.
It is intriguing.
Young guy.
This was stimulating. That would be intriguing. And I think that's the word now for whomever they might bring in, if they bring in anybody, is intriguing. It would be an experiment.
You got to get rid of the Ayuk standard. It's going to be
correct.
It's going to be far less of a proven asset than that.
Coming up next, we do transition back to college football because we did a topic that really got all the fan bases locally involved.
It was stimulating.
It was stimulating, intriguing. When we come back, let's get into this Pitball Club.
Let's do it.
They got a quarterback that Pat Narduzzi says starting coming up tomorrow.
They got a quarterback.
Do they have a new starting running back? What's this offense going to look like?
Let's
get into all of it. Pat Bostic with us for another hour. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high at 90.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.